thanking him, praising him, hallelujah, for his faithfulness. Amen. I don't know about you, but my salvation is experience is just like it was yesterday. Actually, just like it was today. Praise God. Hallelujah. As I survey back, I just see all the times that God strengthened, encouraged, refreshed, enlightened, and kept me pressing along his holy way. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just like that song we sing from time to time. When I first found Jesus, something over me stole. Like lightning, it went through me, and glory filled my soul. That explains my salvation experience right there. Hallelujah. It was a total change of direction for my life. Hallelujah. And it was the greatest thing that had ever happened in my life at 23 years old. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, we were on the we were fixing to embark into parenthood. Children were on our mind. And so we were looking for a church that we could both agree on to go to. You got to realize I was lost, you know, and long story short, my church was dead. It was a Lutheran church. I don't mind telling you that. I don't mean to offend anybody if they're watching on Facebook. It's just dead. There's no life in it. There was no Spirit of God moving like God's been moving today on Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. And so I was willing to venture out and found myself in a little Pentecostal church. Had never heard about a rapture. Didn't know what that was. Never heard about that. Never really heard about worship, the way God declared he wanted to be worshiped. It was always just a ritual type of worship. I'll give you a little insight. When you went to church, the Lutheran church, you were told when to stand. You were told what to say. And you were told that's good enough. So that's why there was no life there. But yet at the same time, God's word was there. And God's word is what kept stirring in my heart. And I always, I can remember it, even back to when I was just a little bitty boy, 6 years old. I can remember a desire I had for God. I just had a desire for God. And it kept me through my teenage years, believe it or not. I wasn't saved. But yet just that knowledge of God and a desire for God kept me from a lot of things that other teenagers were doing. Had great opportunities, but I just didn't want to go that way. Just didn't want to do that. Didn't want to do that much. I had my share of sin. Don't misunderstand me. I was lost. But when Jesus Christ brought me to that place, hallelujah, where I met him at that old-fashioned altar of prayer, and he changed my life. He took away the past. Praise God. He took away the past. And I didn't doubt it for 1 minute. And he gave me newness of life. And I did not doubt that for 1 minute either. Hallelujah. He gave me newness of life. And he put such a desire and a fire in my soul. Hallelujah. For his word. Amen. Found out a little bit later, we've still got it probably on a little picture and poster. You know, a lot of times you get into what the names mean. Of course, it depends on where you go to what this your name means. But my name meant seeker of light. And I thought, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because when light came from heaven, that's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted. I wanted what God wanted for me. Did it bring a lot of persecution? You can rest assured it sure did. I'll tell you exactly what kind of persecution it brought after I got saved, born again by the Spirit of God, and my life changed. I went to tell my mom about it. She's passed now. She's in heaven. God's grace is wonderful. And God moved in a wonderful way, because when I first told her about my salvation experience, she got mad at me and told me to get out of her house. And I went out of that house, out of that door that I had walked through many, many times, with sorrow in my heart, but joy in my soul. And I just said, God, if that's what it's going to be to serve you, that's what I'm going to do. If all forsake me, Lord, I'm still following you. I'm still following you. Hallelujah. Over time, that changed. I found out later. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I found out later that actually there were some Pentecostal roots in my family that I did not know about. And actually, my mom was raised more in a Pentecostal realm and a full gospel realm, but she went with her husband when she married my dad and went to the Lutheran church. But when I got saved and God began to move in my life, it began to stir those coals that she had been raised on. And when I got the opportunity to preach my mom's funeral, yep, I preached my mom's funeral, because I knew that she had surrendered her life to God. And I didn't have a problem. I mean, I got a little teary. I didn't have a problem preaching her funeral. And I got to preaching about grace. God's amazing grace. And how I remember, and I still remember this, in the little building over there when my mom would come to church with us. It wasn't too long after she started coming that she got Alzheimer's. And then she wasn't able. But I can remember her coming. Just sitting there in that church service, and as we began to sing and the Spirit of God began to move, she just lift up that hand and she just sit there and enjoy the presence of God. Yeah, that's the same lady that got mad at me when I got saved and told me to get out of her house. See, you got to be patient. You got to trust God. Because when you follow God, then God's going to take care of you, and He is going to move in family members behind you and around you. Some of them are not saved yet. Some of them got saved and now they're backslid. But I'm still trusting God, because He gave me a promise. He said, if you will follow me and you will serve me, I will save your family. And so I'm standing on that promise, because I've seen Him fulfill it time and time and time again. Hallelujah. So you ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'm just telling you why. Hallelujah. Praise God, because my sins are gone and the promises of God are real. Hallelujah. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is real. Hallelujah. It is the power of heaven that God has provided for His believers so they can be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. We're not going to do our Serious Servants Institute tonight. I'm not going to do that to you, but I'm just sharing some things with you tonight, hopefully to encourage your heart. Don't stop. And if you have fallen, get up. Shake yourself off. Take it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Walk on. And as you walk on, then you will be able to begin to run on. You're going to have to walk first. You can't just get up and keep running. No, you got to get up and start walking. You got to go back to basics. What are basics, Brother Pepper? Read your Bible every day with a desire to be changed by God. Don't just read it to say, I read it. Read your Bible with a desire to be changed by God. And then make sure you find yourself a place of prayer and begin to thank God and praise God for how He has been merciful unto you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then get in the Word some more. I don't know about you, but when I got saved the first time, I couldn't put the Bible down. So if you've fallen and getting back up, then you need to get that Bible in your hand and not put it back down. Because the reason you fell is because you put it back down. You didn't pay a bit of attention to it. You knew it was God's word and you knew what he wanted you to do, but you paid no attention to God's word or what he wanted you to do. So to begin to walk again, you've got to pay complete attention to what God wants you to do. And get that word in front of you and put it in your mind continually. Hallelujah. Praise God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." In other words, he was trying to tempt Jesus Christ. Isn't that kind of funny? "Saying, Master," it amazes me how the devil talks the right talk sometimes. "Saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answered, saying, he's going to give a right answer here, church. "And he answered and said," he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Now this was the answer the young lawyer, or the lawyer, gave. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Praise God. You want to be victorious? Right there's how you do it. Hallelujah. Now you got to realize, pastor's praying, church is praying, anybody that prays in the church is praying that God would sanctify your whole body, soul, and spirit. That's our prayer as leadership, that God would just have his wonderful way in your life, and his will would be done and accomplished. And it is the will of God that your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you notice that the way that gets done is by loving God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And looky there, there's your spirit, there's your soul, and there's your body right there in the greatest commandment of all commandments. Praise God. So why then do we leave our spirit or our mind open for suggestions, when we're supposed to be loving God with all of our mind and not giving place to any lie of the devil? Woo! Hallelujah. Praise our God. A child of God has to realize number one protection is the heart, the very place you make your decisions. The next number one, or the next place of protection, is your mind. You've got to protect your mind. Evil communication corrupts good manners. What is evil communication? Anything that's not godly is evil communication. Uh-oh. How much ungodliness do we actually put into our minds? And we wonder why we're not strong. And we wonder why we're not full of power. Because we put more ungodliness and worldliness into our minds than we do God's word. Wow. That's our mind. We got to protect our soul, our emotions, our feelings. Brothers and sisters, if you make decisions based off your feelings instead of God's word and God's Holy Ghost, you're going to make a mistake. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of what does God's word say and how does God want you to feel. Woo. How many of you all, me included, can change your mind real quick? Or are we stubborn and not easily swayed, which is really a good thing in a sense if we're standing for righteousness? Yeah, the righteous side of stubborn. I've preached that at least 100 times. The righteous side of stubborn. Amen. That means you're standing for what's right and you will not turn and do what's wrong. That's a good thing. But if you're bound and determined to do what's wrong and not listening to God, that's a bad thing. Amen. So we want our soul to be sanctified also, which means set apart unto God. So if there's feelings that begin to arise that are not godly, then they need to be dealt with severely. How severe, Brother Pepper? Well, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's pretty severe. Said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Because it'd be better for you to have a hand missing and go on to go to heaven than it would be to have your hand and go to hell. So, I don't know whether you caught that or not, but it's my responsibility to cut it off. So, instead of plucking out my eye, I'm going to make sure I put my eyes where they belong. Instead of cutting off my hand, I'm going to make sure I'm doing what needs to be done. Praise God. The title of this message that I'm partially preaching here tonight is called Heavenly Workout. Because whether you realize it or not, everything about your salvation takes great work. Takes great effort. Takes great discipline. Amen. That tonight, our Serious Servant Institute was going to be on the disciplined servant. Amen. And I'll not tell you any more about it because, Lord willing, we'll share it at some point in time. See you next Sunday night's camp meeting night. So I can't guarantee we're going to do Serious Servants Institute. We got one more? Oh, well, then I'll do it next Sunday then. All right. Because I get to preach first night of camp meeting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, nobody will show up that night, I know. But we're talking about our spirit, our soul, and our body. A lot of times people leave out their body. They think it doesn't make any difference. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Bible says that body needs to be sanctified too. What's that mean? Set apart to God. Ready to be used by God. Our bodies do not belong to us. Who does our body belong to? How do you see it? Jesus asked that lawyer, how do you see it? Because had he answered wrongly, well, Jesus would have set him right. Our body belongs to God. Our spirit, our mind belongs to God. Our feelings belong to God. See, that's why I'm able to not follow after my feelings if they start leading me astray. You see, sometimes the emotions can confuse us. Because we think if we feel good about God, sometimes we think we're okay. But at the same time, we're openly disobeying God's word in other areas. And so we justify our disobedience by how good we feel about God. It don't work that way. Don't work that way at all. I shared with you just last Sunday about faith without works is dead. Man, I've got to have obedience going on in my life. Oh my, wasn't the Spirit of God wonderful in here this morning and tonight? Hallelujah. You realize that wasn't just about feelings? You realize God spoke to us directly? He spoke to us tonight. He spoke to us this morning. Do you realize God's speaking to us right now? Hallelujah. Because why? We're just sharing His word. We're just sharing His word. That's God speaking to us. Amen. Glory. When God speaks, His children listen. Glory. Because they realize He's the final authority of their life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly workout. What are we working out? Well, we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is, and this is the part I love about this scripture, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Yeah. That word worketh. I'm not a Greek scholar. And you can't really apply phonetics to Greek words. It just don't work. But yet that gives you a little bit more broadness, because from what I understand, the Greek language is so broad and it has so much life in it, just the language itself. And that word God which worketh in you is energeho. Kind of sounds like energy, doesn't it? Well, that's what it means. It means to be active, efficient, effectual, to be mighty in, to show forth Himself in, to work effectually in. So, how many remember the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the scripture is letting us, for it is God which is active in you. It is God that is mighty in you. It is God that is showing forth Himself in you. It is God that is working in you. Hallelujah. And God, that means God is doing His part, because He's about bringing forth His will being done in our lives. And hallelujah, that brings good pleasure to God. And when God is happy, then He will bless us, strengthen us, keep us, encourage us, empower us. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So that's why Paul could say, God's putting it in you. Let it come out of you. Work out your salvation. Let it be known of all men. You are epistles read of all men. What kind of filth has folks been reading from your life? What kind of erroneous ways has folks been reading from your life? Kind of attitudes have people been reading from your life? Because you're an open book. They're seeing you. They're watching you. And if you claim to be a Christian and act like a devil, then you are not letting God have His way in you. And thus you are not working out what He's put in. Because He's put in today a boatload, if I can say it like that. He's putting in You see, some people might think, you know, Brother Pepper, you hardly get to preach anymore. Oh, I do? I hadn't noticed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because they always give me the pulpit when it's time to close. Amen. And so I may not preach a 3-point sermon. I may preach a 15-point one by the time we're done. But it's the reality here. What I'm after is God is pouring out His Spirit. God is sending forth His Word. We are not lacking. We have the most bodacious feast in this house of God. Hallelujah. I mean, there is enough Word of God that comes from this pulpit, from the times of teaching, from the times of testimony. There's enough Word of God comes out of the mouths of these believers in testimonies. Hallelujah. That we should be strong. Glory to God. And know God's Word. When the enemy comes, we should put him to flight. Oh, but that's right. Oh, you got to pay attention to God's Word, don't you? Oh, man, that knocks half of us out, doesn't it? Got to pay attention to God's Word, and you got to listen to what it says, and then you got to let it be assimilated into your life. How many remember that message? Wow, what are we doing? We're going down memory lane here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you got to realize God will judge you. Be sure your sin will find you out. God will judge you. You've got to allow God's will to be accomplished in your life so God can bless your life. So this is a reason. How many realize the Bible talks a lot about envy? This is the reason envy comes into a church. Because some are working out their salvation. Some are serving God. Some are giving all to God. And God is blessing their lives. It's kind of like back to Cain and Abel. And because God's blessing their lives, then instead of rising up and serving God with a fervor, they sit back. Well, I don't know why they always get the blessings of the Lord. I don't know why God's always blessing them. Why won't God bless me? Well, right there's part of it. It's because you're not living holy. You're not living righteous. You're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And God's not going to bless a mess. He's going to bless that which He has produced. It's God that worketh in us. And it's you and I then that work out our salvation. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. And so we see then God's doing an effective job. He's doing an efficient job. God's not slacking on His work. I don't want to slack on mine either. Because if He takes the time, like He did this morning and tonight, to refresh us with the Spirit of God, hallelujah, then I should take the time to make sure I'm doing what He asked me to do. Hallelujah. Now, we got to be careful, because we don't mind doing what God wants us to do as long as we like doing it. God, you want me to preach? Sure, Lord, I'll do it tonight. Oh, yeah. You see, we got to understand that as God is working in, and Sister Lindsay shared it this morning, I almost wanted to preach on that. I mean, it just, you know, the fire. Oh. Wasn't it David said, as I mused, the fire burned? Wow. What? And that's bringing all the impurities to the top. Now, here's the kicker, if I can put it like that. He's not bringing it to the top so He can wipe it off. He's bringing it to the top so I can see what I really am, and so that I can knock it off. Woo, hallelujah, that I can become obedient to what he just showed me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But if I'm not careful, I will not get rid of it. Instead, I'll quench the Spirit of God. What's that mean? That means I'll choose to keep it there and I'll snuff out the fire. Yeah, that's exactly what that means. Because God will build the fire. God will bring it to the top. But if I'm not willing to cast it off, hallelujah. I mean, has ever read the story about blind Bartimaeus? When they told him, Jesus calleth for you, he left the past behind. How'd he do that? How'd he show that? He threw aside that beggar's garment because he was moving forward by faith and he knew he was not going to be a beggar anymore because Jesus called him. Hallelujah. He knew his life was about to change and he left that beggar's garment behind. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, there's a lot of things I left behind when Jesus saved me. There were some that were immediate. Foul language left my mouth. I just knew that was wrong. Beer left my mouth. My attitude was changed. My desire was changed. And there were certain things that just, they were gone. But then there was other things that had to be brought to the top. And then I had to get rid of them. Hallelujah. Surely, nobody has a problem with tobacco in here. But you might. Well, God can deliver you from it. Ask Sister Shelley. She did it last camp meeting for Sister Shelley just that quick. He did it for me that quick. Yep, I was a tobacco chewer. He just took it away. But oh, my brothers, they were still tobacco chewers. And there it sat on the dash. Oh. I mean, totally delivered. Had no desire for it. Quite a while, Brother Timmy. And all of a sudden, I get in the feed truck, and there it sits on the dash. Yep, I did. Took some out, threw it in my mouth. After I done that, I wish I hadn't. Never got so sick. I chewed tobacco from the time I was 12 years old to the time I was 23. I never got so sick in my entire life. I mean, I got sick. I got dizzy. I had to sit down on the ground. And I was, as I was sitting there spitting that stuff out of my mouth, the whole time I said, God, I'll never do it again. God, I'll never do it again. God, I'll never do it again. And I have never done it again. Hallelujah. Praise our God. See, it's just a matter of making up your mind. See, you will be tempted. You will be tested. It will come again. That's when you got to step up, stand up, and send it on its way. Because you have the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because it's God that works in you. Hallelujah. But he's not going to override your will, but you can override the Holy Ghost. I tried to do it multitudes of times. I did it that very day. Yeah. Because you can rest assured as I was looking at it, and it seemed like it was staring back at me. I knew that I did not need to do that. But I did it anyway, and God in his grace made me where I did not want it again at all. Praise God. My God's a great God. He's a mighty God. And he loves us so much that he's going to just keep working in us until we get it. Until we get it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, sometimes he has to dig us up and refurbish us. And Sometimes the Heavenly Father may just want to say, let's pluck that one up. But Jesus Christ will intercede. Let's just work with them one more time. Let's just pour a little more grace. Send a little bit more word their way. How many sermons do you think you've heard in your lifetime? I've got a pretty good collection of sermons on my computer just from 2007. And I preach a lot more before that. I've got a big collection of cassette tapes from my first pastor at church sitting out in my office at the house up on top of my bookshelf. I got every message I preached for that entire year, that last year I preached there. And then I've got notes in my file cabinet from revivals in 1990. I've preached a lot of sermons. How many sermons have we heard? Now I'm going to really throw it at you. How many sermons have you heard on an area of your life you still struggle with? We got camp meeting coming up. Are you wanting some power going on in your life? Are you wanting a change for your life? Then you're going to have to lay hold of that word like you've never laid hold of it before and start doing it, even if it costs you your life. What is that? Cutting off that hand. Whoa. So here we are. It's God working in us. It's God. Hallelujah. There's one thing that I'm wanting to share here, and it might actually be in a different set of notes. The devil, he's a liar. And it's up for interpretation and understanding of whether or not the devil can know our thoughts. More leaning towards the fact that he does not know our thoughts. But how many's ever heard the terminology actions speak louder than words? So he doesn't really have to know our thoughts to tempt us in something we are habitually doing. He sees the pattern that we display. Now that's one thing he can do. He can see. He can see what you're doing. He can see what you like. He can see where your desires, because, where your desires are, where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. So what you want most out of life is what you're going to pursue. And if he sees you're in pursuit of something that is not really eternal life and the things of God, you can rest assured he's going to do everything within his power. And he's got a lot of it, church, to tempt you and blind you and lie to your mind to get you somehow, some way, thinking it's all right to sin. Because he can do that. Now, we do know that he can talk to you because he tempted Jesus Christ. He talked to Jesus Christ. He even used the Word of God trying to tempt Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ used the Word of God in its purity, in its truth, and sent the enemy running. This is why it's important that you and I know God's Word. We're back to, how many messages have you heard? How many teachings have you set in on? And you still have that problem? Whose fault is that? Then it's time for you to choose a different path. It's time to cut off the hand. It's time to cast off the dross, because it's evident it's been brought to the top many times. It's been preached, taught, shared many times. Oh. Are we one of those, I don't know if I want to use that terminology or not. Do we just love to devour the grace of God and remain like we are? It's kind of like we just suck up God's grace and don't use it to change. Just forgive me again, Lord. Forgive me again, Lord. Forgive me again, Lord. You know what you're going to find out? There's going to be one time where he's going to say, when are you going to change? Because see, it's different if my brother offends me and I forgive him 70 times 7. But when I am offending God continually, my Bible tells me that I am crucifying him fresh and anew, and there's no hope for me. That's what my Bible tells me. Because if I go right back into sin, then I am crucifying Jesus Christ fresh and anew. And there's no hope for me. There remaineth no sin, no sacrifice for the sin. Because I keep rejecting the power to overcome. And I keep choosing to be bound. So tell me, where's hope in that? There is none. Hell's full of people like that. But here we sit in a saturated atmosphere of the Holy Ghost of God, and God's just ready to work in us that what we need. He probably already has. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus' reply was, this do, and thou shalt live. Hallelujah. Praise God. Allowing God to sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body. The Bible talks so much about a renewed mind, a right mind, the mind of Christ. You know, it talks so much about setting our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory in our body to preserve blameless, giving this body holy unto the Lord to do with as he wills. Praise God. Wow. Sometimes it just astounds me how plain and how wonderful God's word is. Just to reveal to me the expectations of a holy, loving God. His expectations are high because he has the power to work in me. And if I will let him have his way with me, well, I'll be living an excellent life. I'll be living a holy life. I'll be living a righteous life. I'll be doing the will of God and not my own if I let him work in me. Praise God. I'll be a worshiper of God. I'll be a servant of the Lord. Amen. I'll be a prayer warrior. Glory. Hallelujah. I'll be a witness. I'll be a light to shine. Glory. I will be an epistle read of all men, and they will see Jesus. Praise God. I mean, that's what it's all about right there. That's where the blessings of the Lord lie. It's just wanting to live for Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body. Wanting to live for Jesus Christ with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Hallelujah. And making sure I treat everybody like I want to be treated. Hallelujah. There's a lot of expectations in people's lives. I see it almost every day. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you expect that waiter or that waitress to serve you excellently. I've even seen some folks get a little upset if they didn't do a good job. And what amazes me is some of the folks I've seen get upset when they didn't do a good job doesn't do a good job either in things they do. You know, it's amazing, you know. I mean, after you've pastored, I don't even know how long I've pastored, 20 years here. It's amazing what you see, things you watch when you go places. Hallelujah. You see, we want to make sure that we're doing what's right, not receiving what's right. The Bible never says that we're supposed to receive everything that's right. The Bible declares we are supposed to be doers of what's right, regardless of what we receive. But at the same time, we realize freely you have received of God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness. So freely give. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Could we stand together tonight? I feel the anointing that Apostle Paul had that night when he preached all night. But I'm not going to do that, because we will have more times together. Hallelujah. We'll have a time of fellowship over a cupcake in there here in just a little bit if you want to tarry that long. Praise our God. But it's the goodness of God. It's the peace of God. It's the power of God. It's the love of God. The joy of salvation. Knowing Jesus Christ. When I have Jesus, I've got joy. When I have joy, it's because I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands, let's lift our voices, and let's give praise. Father in heaven, Lord, we're rejoicing in our salvation. We're rejoicing in your word, God. We're rejoicing in your presence in this house. Lord, and what you've done this Lord's Day, this Pentecost Sunday, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the times of refreshing, Lord, from the moving of your Holy Ghost, God. Hallelujah. The songs of Zion, Lord, with those gospel messages in them, Lord. The truths of the kingdom of God stir our hearts, stir our minds. Lord, to rekindle that fire, oh God. Lord, a fresh tenderness to the Spirit of God. Lord, we're just rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because you love us, Lord God. You have washed us clean. Lord, you've filled us with your Holy Ghost, Lord. And you are directing our paths because we are acknowledging you in all of our ways, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. We've got so much, oh Lord, to be thankful for this very night. Truly, Lord, let us go forth rejoicing in our God and living the way you want us to live, God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Just consider yourself dismissed right there where you're standing tonight.